I'm the Director of Environmental Health here in San Francisco, so welcome. I've had the pleasure of working for the San Francisco Health Department since 1998. Don't know, so that's a conflict of interest. They paid me. it's not a conflict of interest. I have nothing to disclose yet, so I'm open to offers, though. I could certainly, yeah. I'm willing to actually leave very quickly if the offer's right. So I've had the pleasure of being the Environmental Health Director since 1998. And here in San Francisco, we, for about, I don't know, about 10 years, we've had something called a program on health equity and sustainability. And that's what this is going to be about. And we're going to hear from the Women in Black, because we're going to change the name to the program, the Women in Black, about the work we do. And I'm going to provide a little bit of an overview. And we're waiting to get sort of the timer set up. So I guess I should just go ahead, because then I get extra time. Keep going ahead. So we started this with really the thought of this challenge is how do we influence the social and environmental conditions responsible for health? And I came, and I'm a physician by training. I had experience, environmental justice experience in Bhopal, India. I had clinical experience on the streets of San Francisco. This is my first like kind of serious sort of government job, and I'm supposed to do environmental health, and I see all of these kinds of, you know, I see the social determinants literature, the environmental justice literature, and I don't see public health doing this. I don't see public health taking actions on income or housing or food, and how do we do this? There wasn't a track record for this. There wasn't a toolkit for this. There wasn't a cookbook for this. But when you looked back, when I started researching, and I said, oh, there's the Ottawa Charter on Health Promotion, and actually they did lay out how to do this, at least from a constitution or a blueprint perspective. And we said, well, can we do this? Can we actually, in a local public health department, create a unit to take action on social determinants, to do social justice work from a public health department? And that's what we tried. The program on health equity and sustainability, I think, has worked through the following values and principles. One is that we engage and support existing and emerging political agendas for social and environmental justice. And I think what's very important in this statement is that we are not advancing a public health agenda. We are advancing a social agenda. We are advancing a environmental justice agenda. We are advancing the agenda, the political agenda of human needs that's out there on the streets today. And by doing that, we believe we will advance public health. But this is not advancing a public health agenda. We're not putting obesity here and asthma up here and saying that's what we're leading with. We're leading with the issues, the bread and butter issues, the economic issues, the housing issues that people are fighting for today. And that's a very different way of working. Second is, in order to do this, we have to collaborate because we're not in charge in public health. Public health is in charge of the things it's in charge of, and it's actually fairly limited. So if we want to have influence over government structures, there are going to be other government structures, and we're going to have to figure out creatively, in a helpful way, in an acceptable way, how to do that influence. And we're going to have to work with every sector. We're not going to be able to say, okay, we're just going to work with the planning sector. We're going to have to work with the labor sector and the food sector and the transportation sector. The third principle was do research to inform and shift the policy agenda. We didn't create a research agenda and then say, oh, here's the answer from our research. Let's go and work on the change that our research shows. Okay, if our issue was economic justice or substandard housing, what is the data and evidence we need to move the needle on those issues for the public? And so the research is very strategic. It's understanding what's broken in the policy system, what information is going to make people stand up and change it, and that's the research we go out and conduct. So it's policy-driven science, not science-driven policy. And you can think about evidence-based policy, and it sounds good, but it actually doesn't really happen that way. We don't create evidence and then generate policy. It's, maybe we do it in a few ways, but generally that's not how it actually works. Develop, implement, and evaluate new public health policies and laws. In some of the cases, we found that the onus was on us, instead of telling the other agencies what to do, that we needed to implement the new regulations or do the work to enforce regulations, and that was on us. Think globally, act locally. This principle was, we had the fortune of being in San Francisco, a rich, fertile ground for social and political experimentation, but everything we did with the thought that this could be scalable, translatable. And that was very deliberate. And what, again, makes that happen is that we're dealing with the high-level priority social issues, because they're common issues in most urban areas. The last is work with passion, risk-taking, and autonomy. One of the things that I think the success factors for this unit, and probably I'm going to spend all my time on my first slide, which doesn't matter, is that, you know, public health workers, people are passionate, they care, they're motivated, they want to change the world. They're generally not allowed to change the world. Yeah. They're controlled by very strong, high-level, the organizational factors that doesn't give them the freedom to go out and criticize other agencies, go out and get out of their lane. And do different things. We're constrained in so many ways in the way they work, and I think that we need to be liberating ourselves to do a lot of varied type of work. And we need institutional structures that don't count work in the same ways, that can see the value in that kind of formative work. And we don't have that. So that I am very passionate about. I'm very passionate about. So the origins of the work, specifically, even though we've sort of spread out in a lot of ways, came from community questions. We got involved, we spent a lot of work in the land use and transportation development work that you'll hear. You'll just see a little bit of that in the presentation, but it's been a large part of the work. But the questions were coming from the community. They were, will development protect and improve our environmental quality? Will we have beautiful new neighborhoods where we don't exist, where we don't live anymore? So will we have the parks and schools that we've always wanted? And these were the questions, and communities were saying, can you study this about planning? And that's what we did. We filled that gap that was really a community-led demand. One of the things we're most proud of is a set of health and sustainability indicators. We, again, based on this kind of community vision of what a healthy city was, we developed a measurement system to measure progress, and we've used that measurement system very strategically to evaluate plans, to focus our own interventions. It's pretty simple. We have 100 measures of everything that people think are of need or good in life, and we've looked at San Francisco and said, okay, what are we weak in? And where are the inequities? And those are the areas that we work. And when we go and we work with another agency, we can bring this data and say, look, you know, these neighborhoods are all doing well on this measure, but this neighborhood's not doing well. Having that as an ongoing monitoring system for public health has been really our calling card. It's been something useful that we've provided to the other agencies. It's been data that's been respected by other agencies. It's allowed us to sort of get in the door and stay in the door. And this is actually one of the single things, other than all the women in black are really nice and everybody wants to work with them, that people want this data. People really want this data. So I think the single thing that's most translatable is this kind of city-level indicator system. I could talk a little bit about the design, you know, what these indicators should be like, but I think that's too technical. But an example of how this can be sort of transformative. So this is a model of air pollution at the street level, at the neighborhood level. And before we created this model, we have one monitoring station for air pollution. And that's at 25th and Arkansas, which is in one of the green areas, which green means good, right? So red means not so good in this map. And So this is a situation in the whole country. There's monitoring stations that are supposed to tell us whether we have good air pollution or bad air pollution. Generally, these monitoring stations are in areas that are not near pollution sources. Okay? But all the decisions we make, is the state in compliance with its air quality plan, are based on these monitors that are located in areas that are, by definition, areas that are not adversely affected by an air pollution source. So this map really gets beyond it and looks at the intra-city variation of air pollution, defines the red zones, the zones that we need to work on, and gives some very useful information to planners. Okay, if we're going to be putting housing in red zones, maybe we need to improve the ventilation standards. If we are putting a new truck route in the red zones, maybe we need to think twice. If we're widening the street in the red zone, we have to think twice. It's very useful information. It's information they can act on and that they didn't have before. And I think it's striking that we don't ask for this information. And I think there's lots of reasons not to ask for this information. It raises a whole set of questions, difficult, troubling questions, hard things to do. But once you get this information out there, people don't run from it anymore. They have to confront it, and they work sort of constructively with it. The outcomes from this work? 2-3 minutes? Okay. So other than these multi-objective performance indicators and sort of the data tools, we really developed a lot of interagency coordination. And today, we're in a situation where the health department, our environmental health unit, works with every agency in the city. And we work... We work on major plans and projects and initiatives, but I think we work in a much more informal way. When another agency has a question, for example, they may say, a community member, you know, this is something that happens all the time. Community groups say, we don't think this park is in a safe location because it's the air quality or the noise or the traffic safety. We don't think this is safe. Now the planners, they'll call us and they say, what do you think about this community concern? What does your data say about that community concern? And we answer the planners. The planners are in the driver's seat. They're getting the information from us. They're integrating the information, but we've come to play this role. Reciprocally, we can go to the planners and say, look, this is a great project, this bus rapid transit on Van Ness, but can you pay a little bit more attention to traffic safety? Here's some best practices we want you to think of, and maybe they take one best practice and not all three, but that's progress that we're making. We have new health agendas that are coming out of new social networks and policy networks. In the city. And finally, I think most important, better government accountability, because all of this, you know, planning for health, transportation for health, economic development for health, health departments for health, we need that too. These are things that have always been promised to us. They're in our Constitution, they're in the laws that establish these agencies, they're in planning rules and laws. Health is a mandate, but it's a broad concept. You have to get beyond this kind of vague sense of health of a mandate to exactly what is, you know, the situation in a particular case. You know, is it healthy, you know, or not? You need the sort of the accountability. And I think this attention we're playing on the other agencies is this sunshine that we're placing on is creating a sense of accountability. The fact that we're working with community groups, and community groups are understanding the connectedness and the health issues, and they're providing sort of a lens, sort of of accountability. Through this kind of collective, I think, power, we were able to pass laws that require all the new development in San Francisco near these red zones to have better ventilation systems, even though that should have been sort of a common sense practice. Megan Gatos is going to talk about how we are helping to enforce labor laws. We've been able to develop, and so it's more than just land use planning. We're working with labor enforcement agencies to help them enforce labor laws, so people will get wages paid, and so the preventative regulations on injuries that are often not enforced get monitored. So I think to sort of close, health is a shared social value, and using it strategically can catalyze collective multi-agency agendas. The idea of comprehensive performance measures, every public agency should have its health objectives and its measures. These shouldn't be the health department's objectives and measures. They should be the system's objectives and measures. It's not that far of a distance from their existing work to this work. There's limited accountability right now. We find that a lot of laws exist to protect health, but the agencies responsible for them are not enforcing them. So those that sunshine, that accountability is really critical. Before you pass a whole new law, set of new laws for public health, let's enforce all the ones that exist. We've been excluded as public health from people for too long, but who's excluded us really? You know, I mean, these tables exist where different agencies come together and collaborate. Why are we not there? I mean, in a part, we're not there. Public health has not been there because public health hasn't raised its voice. Public health hasn't demanded to be there. Public health hasn't shown why it should be there. It keeps waiting for a date to the prom. It should just go to the prom. So that's what I'm going to say and close. These are the conditions I think we need for health in the future. And I'm supposed to moderate, so the next thing is, who's up next? Okay. So I think we're going to go now and actually dive into a particular work. And I think a characteristic of this work to pay attention to, it all begins with a problem. A problem that we don't necessarily take the lead in identifying, but we come in a very sort of supportive and helpful and skillful role in solving. I have no financial relationships.